So today's daf is daf Memvav, and we're still holding the bottom of Memhei, and it's time for a little bit of a review, because we're trying to figure out what Rabbi Yochanan really does hold about the dinim of the Psak, Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Shimon. There seems to have been some type of confusion in what his Psak is, as we'll see. It's getting even more confused. But this started with what appeared to be a very innocent question, in which we had a raya that Rabbi Yochanan had paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yitzchak had come along and said that Rabbi Yochanan paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, whereas Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi paskin like Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yosef said, now I understand. Rabbi Yochanan always quotes that they say halachas like Rabbi Shimon. Now I understand that. He means they say, I don't agree. Okay, so Abaye said to him, I mean, isn't that obvious? Because of the story of the menorah that fell on the clothing and the jacket of Rav Asi on Shabbos, and the whole story, he wouldn't move the menorah. And it must be because he was following Rabbi Yochanan's psak. So you should have known that yourself. What did you need Rabbi Yosef for? Everybody knows the famous story of Rav Asi's jacket that ruined his career. So we ended up being mechadish yesterday, a very important new type of mukta, which is a mukta in which people are koveya makom. At least this was the reasoning that was given. And Rabbi Yosef said, look, you know, when it comes to menorah is unique. Because a menorah, well, we weren't quite sure why it was unique. But so far what we said yesterday by Rabbi Yosef himself and Rabba was that the reason it's unique is because it's not meant to be moved around. It's the equivalent of a table lamp. Adam koveya lo makom. In fact, we had a machlokas for shlokas for Yochanan. Whether if you need two hands to move it, only then is it considered to be muktzah. Or even if you have one hand, it would still be considered to be muktzah. By the way, we'll see later on in the Masechta that this thing turns into a new concept called muktzah machlis chisaron kis. Now, muktzah machlis chisaron kis, it's something that's very valuable to you. Don't want it lightly used. So keep it away from the kids. And there the shaila is. I mean, suppose it's something that you're not kovei amokum for. You know, you put it in a little box, and you lock the box, but I mean, it's not as if it's always in your safe. Is the kviyut makom really the nature of the yisr, or are we just saying kviyut makom is a siman that this is something that a person wouldn't want lightly moved? Now, it certainly appears in the way that the Gemara uses the issues interchangeably. And it's interesting, there's a tshuva of Rav Meisha that speaks this out the Feirush. That even though the Gemara refers to it here as Kovea Makom, there's no such thing as a mukta machmar, kviyut makom. Kviyut makom is actually a siman ladavar. But it really all boils down to the concept of mukta machmar, you don't want it used. Which we call mukta machmar chisaron kis. I don't want it ruined. This is something I keep for special purposes, and I wouldn't like to use it for anything else. Okay? But in any event, that's where we were up to yesterday. Now, in the course of getting to that place, we had an interesting psak by Rabbi Yochanan, which was very, very confusing. We let it go by yesterday because it was at the end of the day. But let's take a look at it again, where we got to the menorah. Because Rabbi Yosef, he wanted to say, well, I wouldn't have known anything about Rabbi Yochanan's psak if I'd only known about the menorah that fell on his Talmud's jacket, because I know Rabbi Yochanan paskins that menorah is special. Where did Rabbi Yochanan paskin the menorah is special? On the first large line at the bottom of Memhei, on the base, where he says, Rabbi Yochanan amar, ein anu ein lanu ela b'ner k'Rabbi Shimon, avu menorah bein nitla b'yado achat, bein nitla b'shtei yadav asur l'taltala. Now we sort of ignored the first part of the statement, which is, ein lanu ela b'ner k'Rabbi Shimon. But it's rather strange, because the whole idea that we had just been bringing was to show that Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda. So how do we square what Rabbi Yochanan is saying now, that the halacha is k'Rabbi Shimon b'ner? So one simple way of understanding this is that he was only referring to the din of muktzah machlis mikus. So as he was saying, look, I do agree with Rabbi Shimon in one issue and only one issue, and that's the muktzah machlis mikus issue. When it comes to an old candle that hadn't been lit on Shabbat, but because it's disgusting, I agree that nonetheless you shouldn't say it's muktzah just because it's disgusting. I agree with Rabbi Shimon. In anything else, when it comes to muktzah machmat isur, which Rabbi Shimon said is not an issue, with that I disagree with him. When it comes even to a menorah, which you'd think is the same as a ner, no. Menorah is not the same as a ner. Over there, it's definitely prohibited. Now, when Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi paskined, it comes out now, when we said before that we have two psakim, Om Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi paskins Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. I mean, the truth is, Rabbi Yochanan over there also has elements in which he paskins like Rabbi Shimon, right? Notice we have a Rabbi Shimon psak of Rabbi Yochanan when it comes to the Muktz Matmas Mius, and we have a Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Muktz Matmas Sur. And the Shaila is over here, what the din of Menorah is. He's not necessarily telling us who he holds like. He's just saying there is this new concept. It turns out in the end of the Masechta that Rabbi Shimon himself also agrees with this. And this seems to be the way that Rashi is learning, the simple way of learning this sugya. Tosfos wants to suggest that Rabbi Yochanan does not necessarily hold bichlal like Rabbi Shimon. Wants to stay wrong. He's all that the statement meant was Rabbi Yochanan says, look, you can't find a more makel shita than Rabbi Shimon. That's the most makel shita you can find when it comes to discussing what to do with your neighbors. Nonetheless, don't make the mistake of thinking that even according to him, you could move a table lamp. You can move, yes, something which is not meant to stay in one place. You can move your little desk lamp, maybe, on Shabbos. But you can't move a table lamp, because a table lamp isn't meant to be moved. That's all he's saying. He's not necessarily saying that he himself would not have all the muktzah matmat miyus. This is a very useful possibility in the Gemara, because it helps to avoid a lot of problems about the relationship of muktzah matmat miyus versus muktzah matmat isur later. Because here we would be saying, well, muktzah matmat miyus is mutar, but muktzah matmat isur would be asur, according to Rabbi Yochanan. There's indications that that doesn't work later on. So, just bear in mind that it's not necessarily so that Rabbi Yochanan would agree with Rabbi Shimon at all, even when it comes to Muktzah Machmat Mius. So what we left with yesterday was that apparently there's such a thing as Kovela Makot. That was Rabbi Yosef's explanation of why Rabbi Yochanan says that there's a major difference between a simple ner, or a pamot, and a table lamp, which he's calling here a menorah. The problem is, only a bayal Rabbi Yosef, Hare kilat chatanim, the adam kovelo makom. We know that the kilat chatanim bed, which was not really used as a bed, it was sort of a decorative bed, canopy-like bed, which was used for keeping nice things on, really. When we call it a bed, what it actually is, it has a piece of wood going across the top, and then you drape over it what would normally be a canopy. Now, a canopy on a bed is usually draped over two pieces of wood on top to allow you room to sleep. But here, it was basically a display unit, and so it wasn't meant to have a roof, a top. It was just meant to be nice. So you had a drape that was coming down from the top that was on a pole, which meant that you did not have a tefach on top. Since you didn't have a tefach on top, there was no reason not to open it up on Shabbat because there's no oil. If it's less than a tefach, there's no oil. And then it spreads out to whatever the width is of the display table at the bottom. And you open it up, and it looks like this pretty little window thing. You have things on it. And then let's go to Kilat Chatanim. Now, the question over here, there's two issues over here. One is the Ohel problem. So since it's not a tough, you don't have an Ohel problem. But the other problem is that it's for valuables. And it's something in which Adam is Kovei Alam Makom, usually. You wouldn't drag this thing around and put it from place to place. And if that's the case, then even if you tell me there's no problem of putting it up because of the Ohel, there ought to be a problem of this new Muktzma Machmat Kovea Makom, which ends up becoming Muktzma Machmat Chisaron Kis. Why then would it be mutter to open it up on Shabbat? And then Abai asked Rabbi Yosef, if you're correct that the Kviyut Makom is the issue. So Hare Kilat Chatanim, Adam Kovea Lo Makom, V'Yomer Shmo Mishum Rebichia, Kilat Chatanim Mutar L'Ntota U'Mutar L'Farka B'Shabbat. You can put it up and you can take it down on Shabbat. So it means you can put up the drape. You can put up on Shabbat and you take it down because it's what about the other issue? Forget about minyan, the stira. How about muksa? Therefore, says Abaye, I don't believe that kviyut makom is necessarily a simen to it katsoi midate, as you're claiming. I think that if you want to say that Rabbi Yosef is correct here in saying, but it's something unique about a menorah. It doesn't prove anything. A menorah fell on his jacket. It's not because a menorah is kavua makom. It was talking about a menorah, which is what Rabbi Yochanan is referring to, a menorah of chuliot. And a menorah of chuliot is meant to be screwed together. One piece fits into the next piece. And you make a menorah out of it, which, by the way, is pretty common on the large pamotim, where you have that upper piece that you could even some of them have a choice of screwing in a one-piece pamote or a four-piece, or you know, you can change depending on how many candles you want. You screw the piece in. The problem is that because in screwing the piece you would be osik li on Shabbos, therefore he did not allow you to use this menorah shokuliot, because in case something would come off, we're afraid, so you put it back together. Nothing to do with the simple dinim of muktzah, and that's actually the reason that Rabbi Yochanan said you can't carry a menorah even if it's a small menorah. But as the Gemara, if that's the case, the Yochi my time, the Rosh Hashanah Lakish to Shari. Why then would Reish Lakish, I mean, if you tell me that the issue over here is Kriyut Makom, then I understand why Reish Lakish would have said, well, if you can carry it around with one hand, it's not Kriyut Makom. But if the issue is over here that maybe a piece will fall out and you're going to make, what's the difference? How many hands you need to carry it? I mean, it's absolutely irrelevant. So how can a buyer get away with saying that it's talking about a menorah shel chuliot? Ah, I'll tell you why. Because when I say it has chuliot, don't take me too literally. I mean, it sort of has chuliot. What does that mean? My chuliot, ke'in chuliot, de'it be'chidki. Actually, this is a menorah that looks like it has chuliot, because it has, it's designed. What do they do like that? Where you've got, there's sometimes pockets that aren't really pockets, and drawers that aren't really drawers. They've got like a pull on them, but they don't know if they're, you know, in the kitchen. So it's the same type of thing. It's really just a very simple thing that has put on airs. And the airs consist of these little holes around the area where it would be put together. But it isn't really put together. It's a good old-fashioned pamote in which the lady of the house makes it look like she's got all types of additional features. But it doesn't have any features. It's just one piece. So if it's a small menorah, which can be carried around by one hand, nobody believes it. Then they understand it's basically just a toy. I mean, fun. Yeah, because nobody would ever make something like that. That should be a small ones aren't made with chuliot. Only a large menorah is made with chuliot.
Is this screwed? Is this something that's set?
Screwed.
Because that way you'd have pulled.
We're going to talk later on about the screwed issue or the pulling issue. That we'll get to. There's a whole question of portable beds. We're going to get to that. That's a major machlokus with it, because binyan vestira v'kelim or machbid on something which is normally open and closed is actually a fundamental tosis on this daf, which is very much going to get much later, which is the distinction between pieces that don't come apart completely and that are locked into place when you pull them out, like those little cribs and so on, the portable cribs, and pieces that come out totally and pieces that are screwed. So there's all types of differences, which, since it's not our sugya, it's not going to get into here. But over here, we're talking about a gzeira atu gdola d'chuliot. The question over here is, look, we're afraid people won't distinguish between the type that looks like, it's got chitki, it looks like chuliot. So they'll, even though it's small, so the other says, well, it's small, but people get used to the idea there's nothing wrong with using these screw-in menorahs. And there is.
What's
chitki, literally? Chitki just cracks, grooves, thank you. Grooves, exactly. New Texas would come in handy when we need it. So, atu gdola d'chuliot, but keep ligi b'ktana d'itvechitki. The question over here is a little one. Marzava gazrina Rabbi Yochanan says, look, people won't make a distinction anymore. Marzava gazrina Rabbi Yochanan says, I said, well, who's going to think that a small thing that's never made of chuliot, that's made to look like it has grooves in it, is really chuliot? No, it's not going to occur to anybody. Therefore, why be goes here? Now, the question is that we're now coming out with Rabbi Yochanan saying, look, it's Rabbi Yehuda. And that's how, when the only quote that Amru Rabbi Shimon was that he didn't agree with it. The thing is, though, we've got a little bit of a problem. Our problem is the good old stagecoach wheels.
No problem there, right?
No, because that's the thing. In other words, where it goes there, menorah shel chidki versus menorah shel chulios. It's not stages. But what about stagecoaches? Now there, remember, we had our problem in that Stam Mishnah and Kalim indicated that if you've got the mechanism, the wheels that attach this, the coach attaches to, by the way, GM is going back to this, you know that. The next generation of cars has got a complete separation between the stage and the chassis, because they're now designing the engine, the electrical engines, everything will be electrical. The engine is now one piece together with the wheels, and they're all the same. Every car is basically the same. You choose the chassis that you want. And then you just plug on the chassis onto that, and it's the whole thing, the wheel, the engine, the drive, Calvin's chassis. You just plug it in, you can just switch, you can keep one car.
Modular
cars. So that basically, that's the issue of here in Kalim. I mean, if they had learned Kalim before, it wouldn't have taken an old century to get to this point. So if you've got that bottom piece, you got the chassis, So now the mashmaut was that if somebody had put some money down on it, it's usur only so long as the money is on it, because it says if it wasn't on it, then it's okay to move it, to push the wheels. The problem is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we asked, why wouldn't it matter even if there's nothing on it right now, but why wouldn't it matter that something was on it at the beginning of Shabbat? Since according to Rabbi Yehuda, once it was usur at the beginning, the ner was daluk. You can't ever touch it again on Shabbat, so here too you can't touch it again on the chassis. The Mishnah didn't make that distinction. That's what forced us 2 days ago to conclude that it was going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. But in Akinami, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, we would have had to say that the case would be always usur if you had left money on that chassis before Shabbat, even if it's not there now. Now, you say that has nothing to do with this, but it has everything to do with it. Because it's Rabbi Yochanan who always has the rule that the halach is kistam mishnah. And that stam mishnah takes for granted that as long as the money isn't currently on it, it's okay to move. But that means that the stam mishnah is proclaiming that halachic Rabbi Shimon. And here is Rabbi Yochanan saying halachic Rabbi Yehuda, at least the way that you're now understanding the omru, halachic Rabbi Shimon. So how do we explain, asks the Gemara, Niyam Rabbi Yochanan, could Rabbi Yochanan have said that indeed the halakha is like Rabbi Yehuda, when we know perfectly well that Am Rabbi Yochanan lachak is Stam Mishnah, that we always go according to Stam Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah in Kalim that we just spoke about was that the Muchanishala, the machine itself, is manchi nishmetet, ein chiburla, the ein nimdedet ima, the ein matzelet ima ba'olamet, the ein gorino tabishabat is manchi yeshala amaot. You can't move the wheels if it's got something on it, even though obviously that's not its normal use. It's meant to be the chassis over here to the coach. But nonetheless, you can't move it. But what does that imply? That no matter what the case would be, if there's no money currently on it, then there's no problem in pushing it. But what about the fact that I mean, the Mishnah doesn't make any distinction between what the status was at the time that Shabbat was Chal, which according to Rabbi Yehuda, would have made it Muktzeh for all of Shabbat, and instead it says, well, you just need to look at whether the money's on it right now. So how do we explain that Stam Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yochanan, and still allow him to pass him like Rabbi Yehuda? Omer Rabbi Zera, look, you know, I mean, the truth is, you're making a little bit of a leap here. Why? Because for us to say that Halachak is Stam Mishnah, why do we say this? We say this because if Rebbe, when he was Masada the Mishnah, saw a particular shita that he felt we should be kovei halacha kabotom, so he wrote a Mishnah to define that shita. The issue in this Mishnah is not Muktzah, correct? The issue in this Mishnah in Kalim, it has just relevance to the concepts of Muktzah. You're assuming that every last issue in a Mishnah, if it isn't brought out as a machloket, then it's got to be that it's a Stam Mishnah. Now, maybe a Stam Mishnah, only a Stam Mishnah on the topic that it's discussing. In other words, it could very well be that Rebbe, when he wrote this Mishnah, wasn't interested in getting into the details, whether the money was there before Shabbat, whether it was there only right now, and then I'll have to tell you that really the Mitzvah Machloket, Rebbe Yehuda Rebbe Shimon, if he didn't mean it as a Stam Mishnah. Because since he's not coming to discuss the issue here, maybe he allows you to take the Mishnah in different ways. In other words, if you hold a Rabbi Yehuda, you'll have to say, okay, well, obviously he meant that the money wasn't there during Minash Mashach. You say, why didn't he say so? Why should he say so? Why should he mention it when it's only something that he's mentioning in passing the Klal, the question of money on it, which has nothing to do with Kalim. Therefore, says Rabbi Zera, look, Tehei Mishnatenu, if this bothers you, then why don't you just say that the Mishnah indeed is talking about Shalom Hayuale Amaot Kobein and Ashmashot Shalom Ishbar Tavarav Shal Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, you're saying, how do I know this? I know it because of Rabbi Yochanan. Obviously, that's how Rabbi Yochanan understood the idea of the Stam Mishnah. That it doesn't mean that it has to cover all of your bases. As long as you can understand that Mishnah, that it would work, Afilo Liba the Rabbi Yehuda, then it's not Rabbi's responsibility to necessarily pass in the Dinam of books in Kalim. So can you learn that the Mishnah works like Rabbi Yehuda? Certainly. You'll just have to postulate that it's referring to a particular case. That the money wasn't on it at the beginning of Shabbat. And now the question is the money there now or is the money not there now? Then it would work out fine like Rabbi Yehuda. And of course, like Rabbi Shimon as well. So therefore, that's how to understand the Mishnah in Kalim. Om Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Pa'am achat alach Rabbi l'diuspara. Rabbi once went to the town of Diuspara, which is not in Barnea's neighborhood. Bohorah. It is in Barnea's. You're kidding. Oh my gosh. I stand corrected.
Well, it has to be somewhere there to show.
Oh, no, no, no. Wait a minute. Do you know where Deuce Parade is or not?
No.
Then it's not in your
neighborhood. No. It's only neighborhood times.
Of course, that's what defines a neighborhood. I mean, otherwise, we all live in it. So. What's that?
We're looking to see where it
Uncle
is.
Uncle Art says it's in Cyprus?
No.
V'hora b'menora k'Rebbe Shimon b'ner. Now, that's a rather strange thing. He said when it came to menorah, like Rebbe Shimon b'ner. Now, the reason that this is so tantalizing is because it reminds us exactly of what Rabbi Yochanan said just on the bottom of the previous stop. That even though we only know like Rabbi Shimon Ben-Er, but menorah is different. So was Rabbi Shimon saying, was Rabbi saying rather, well, no, wait a minute, menorah is the same as Rabbi Shimon Ben-Er? Or was this two separate issues? Menorah is one thing, and then there was another issue that was raised about an er, the Gabi and Ner Yashan, and then he passed him like Rabbi Shimon. Which is very similar to the question we had about what Rabbi Yochanan was actually asking. Now, I know that you would think that by very virtue of being in Yusufram, which means two different mandiomrim, he would certainly be pasking in one way like Menorah, and in another way like Rabbi Shimon. However, the Gemara does not consider that to be conclusive. So, the question was, Hora b'menorah k'Rabbi Shimon, v'ner lehetera, did he give his talk like in the Menorah like Rabbi Shimon said about a ner, meaning that the menorah was mutter, there was only one hora over here. Although, maybe there were two different things over here. Hora b'menorah le'isura. Because of whatever issue. Either he holds like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to menorah, or because he agrees with this distinction of Rabbi Yochanan about muksum makbas chisoron kis, whatever. And he also paskin on a ner yashan shel cheres. He paskin like Rabbi Shimon le'etera when it came to just a ner. Do you know which one? Take. I don't. Now, Reb Malkiah once came to Rabbi Smaloy's house, and he went ahead, and when the candle went, not the candle, the lamp went out on Shabbos, the Tilto Shraga, he moved it because he held of Rabbi Shimon. The Ikpid, Rabbi Smaloy was not happy with him, because he had passed him like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Galilah came once to the home of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina on Shabbos, and he too moved the lamp that had gone out, Tilto Shraga, and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina was not happy. Now Rabbi Avu, on the other hand, he was very diplomatic. Ki ikla la'atred Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. When he came to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's home, and we know before on Amud Beis, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had just passed him like Rabbi Shimon. So he said, great, here's a place where we can move the lamps on Shabbos. So he did. But when he came to Rabbi Yochanan's place, so apparently Rabbi Yochanan not passed him like Rabbi Shimon, Lo Abimetal Shraga, over there he wouldn't move the lamp. Now it's all very nice to be diplomatic, but I mean, after all, we're talking about halacha. I mean, for heaven's sakes, what is he all of Manashav? Ik Rebbe Yehuda Svirle, I mean, be a man of Shita, for heaven's sakes. If you're all of Rebbe Yehuda, so then you should do like Rebbe Yehuda, even though your host may hold that it's mutter to move the lamp. And if you're all of Rebbe Shimon, why don't you just follow Rebbe Shimon? It was basically the Gemara starts. Yoylam Rebbe Shimon Svirle. Obviously, he himself wouldn't have listened to somebody who passed him Lakula to do Lakula. He could have just avoided it. So actually, he personally clearly must have passed him like Rabbi Shimon, which is why when he had the opportunity, he felt no compunction on moving that lamp on Shabbos. But Mishum Kvodo de Rabbi Yochanan de Lo Abi. When he was in Rabbi Yochanan's area and Rabbi Yochanan was passing Lakumra, so then he wouldn't do it. And this, of course, ties to the way Tosef was understanding Rabbi Yochanan before. That Anu Ein Lanu Ela B'Ner K'Rabbi Shimon, Anu Ein Lanu, there's no better Shita L'Kula than Rabbi Shimon, not that I agree with it. And that his psak with Rabbi Yehuda could be across the board. Rabbi Yehuda introduces something else here. And he says, look, Shraga da Mashka Shari L'Totula, but the Nefta Asu L'Totula. There's got to be limits to what puts people off. I mean, it's one thing to talk about a old lamp that had been used with olive oil. Over there, Rabbi Shimon is mad. But if you've got a kerosene lamp, what are you going to put in a smelly kerosene lamp? Everybody would agree that that stinks. I mean, there's got to be some limits. So that certainly would be considered to be mukta, mat mi'us. Now, this is an interesting thing to claim, because that according to Rabbi Shimon, there really is a concept called mukta, mat mi'us, except when it's a neri yachid shoshem and it's not ma'us enough. It's like, I mean, now we're talking about how disgusting is it? I don't know. But that's the passion of the circuit. Tosfos says, now wait a minute. Who says he's talking about on the Rabbi Shimon here? Why can't he be talking about a metal menorah? Be going like Rabbi Yehuda, that if it, a metal menorah, I mean, it's okay if it isn't, if it wasn't lit this Shabbat. And he's saying, yeah, but that doesn't mean any metal menorah. I mean, if it stinks of kerosene, then that too would be considered to be Muktzah Machmat Mius. Which is actually something of a chidush, because it's not disgusting, it just smells bad. So you may not want to use it for food, but there's no reason why you wouldn't use it, let's say, to hold down your paper so it doesn't blow away. I mean, it's not ma'us to touch it. So that's a question. Rav Yehuda over here was asserting that there would be a din of muktzah machmat mius on kerosene, even on metal, Tanya's Tosfos. Rabbah and Rav Yosef disagreed, and they said, look, the neftanami sharilatul, there's nothing wrong with the kerosene, it just smells bad. But that doesn't mean that it's not usable for things in which the smell is not a problem. When you're talking about the ner yashan, it's unpleasant to touch, it's dirty, it's oily, it's sooty, and therefore it's something that you don't want to use. You don't want to use it for anything. I mean, once it's burned out, you have no, you know, or even if you hadn't lit it, it's just, what are you going to do with it on Shabbos? Now, speaking about Mo's, you see, suppose somebody comes into your house and doesn't clean his shoes when he walks in, and it was just in the mud. Now, that's Muktzah Machmas Mo's, you would say. And poor Rav Avia made the mistake of coming into Rava's house. He had the Me'isin, notice the coincidental language, so his shoes were Mo's, Bekare Betine. He had just walked through the mud. And he goes and he sits down on Rubba's couch. Now, Rubba was not happy. Not happy at all. So, Eis ve'apurya kame to Rubba. He sits down.
This is Rubba, wasn't it?
What's that?
This is Rubba,
wasn't it? No. Man also needs to know him to be Maxim. Rubba did not think that is the way in which Tom McCaulkin is supposed to act, come into somebody's house like a slob, sit down on the couch, and I'm like, what kind of business is this? He made up his mind he is going to embarrass Rubba. Boy, let's see. He wanted to really give him tzar. Of course, how do you give tzar to a Talmud Chacham? You ask him a question and he can't answer. And naturally, the best thing to talk about was the disgusting objects. Maybe he'd get the hint, right? So he says to Rav Avia, hey, Rav Avia, my time a robber of Yosef Damitavar shragged enough to Nami Charlotte Tule. Why would people think that something disgusting like kerosene or maybe mud would be okay to move around on Shabbos? Omalei. Why not? I mean, you may not want to use it as a candy dish, but you could still use it as the top for your garbage pail. So what's wrong with that? So says Rabatim, that's an answer. I mean, you could say the same thing. Go outside. Your wife loses the top of her perfume jar. So go outside, pick up a stone. Why not? It's chazir lechasod bomana. And use a little stone to cover her perfume bottle. I suppose, according to you, there's no such thing as muktzah. Anything in the world, after all, could be used to cover a bottle of some kind. Very interesting logic you've got there, Rabbi. So it's all because of the zugo mana. Said Rav Avia, what's the comparison to stones? I mean, or ika torat kli aleha, ani leka torat kli aleha. There is a concept called a kli. Although there may be Isurim on Kalim that are not meant to be used, and this is an extremely important new piece of information, and for the first time we are defining an idea called Muktzah Machmat Gufo, or Atzmo, where the thing itself is Muktzah because it simply has no defined use at all. The first thing we need to distinguish between, says Rav Avia to us, and therefore becomes a fundamental definer of muktzah instead of having been embarrassed by Rava, which is a much better ending, says Rav Avia, actually, we need to distinguish between, before we even get to the dinim of the purpose of a kli, and whether you intend to use the kli, or mekatzit makom, and so on, we need to first distinguish between kalim and non-kalim. Non-kli doesn't enter into the set of shimush at all, and therefore, there's nothing to discuss about it. It isn't included in any heter on Shabbat. The whole idea of the original Gezerah of Muktzah stands. Don't touch things that aren't meant to be moved on Shabbat. That's out of the running. Now, you've got Kalim. Okay. Kalim has a lot of subsets. Then you can start discussing whether a kli that has a usability, which is not its primary usability, such as a metal lamp that has a smell of neft in it, is considered to be muktzah if you want to use it as a covering for your garbage pail. But you certainly can't say, and therefore anything in the world, kli or non-kli, can be used as a covering of a garbage pail. That does not follow. And I'll prove to you that it doesn't follow. That there's a new concept called kli. Mi lo tanya. Does it not say that hashirim, bracelets, and nizamim, earrings, vatabaot, and rings, harein kechol hakelim anitalim bechatzer, they are like anything else that can be moved in a chatzer. Now this, according to Tosfos, is going according to the Man d'Yomar who holds that no jewelry may be worn on Shabbat because it is too common to take off your jewelry to show it to your friends. And since in taking off the jewelry in Reshut HaRabim, as you're casually strolling down Main Street, you will be walking Arba Amot Reshut HaRabim, we assured wearing jewelry. It's a good thing this didn't go through.
Did the Rabbi accept this?
Please.
Rabbi Ben.
We're going to get to this sugya in a special parak that is dedicated to Bama Isha Yotzat. What can a woman wear on Shabbat? Which is later. But in any event, according to this Man d'Yomar, it was even prohibited to wear jewelry in your own chatzer because of the chashash that you'll end up carrying it even in Reshut HaRabim. Okay. So now the question is, that sort of knocks jewelry out of the running for usable kalim. And what are you going to do with your jewel? If you can't wear it, so then you shouldn't be able to move it at all.
That must have depressed the market. The poor jewelers up in arms. That must have really made a lot of noise.
The Omar Ula, Matam, why then is it permissible to move it not for the tzorach of the jewelry, but for tzorach gufan or tzorach mikoman? Why is that okay? Since, what do you think it is? A rock? Did you ever hear anybody call a diamond a rock? So since Lamaisa, it has a tzorach kli, because it's designed for use of people. So Lamaisa, that means that you don't view it as a non-kli, that's muktzah machmat gufo. Now the shayla is, what are you going to move it for? Why do you need to move it? Okay, so I can move it even letzorach mekomo. I can move it even letzorach gufo. If I have some use, here too it's the same thing. Hachinami, here too. You're telling me, but it smells, nobody would use it. It's still a kli, isn't it? So if I want to use it for letzorach gufo, I want to now actually cover my garbage bill with it. Why should I not be allowed to? So hovi ketorat kli aleha. Thank the good Lord for his mercy, who did not allow Rava to embarrass Ravavia. And we ended up getting out of this little interchange over here. Very important insight into Elkis Muktzah. Romile Abaye la Rav. Tanya Motar Hashemin Shebenevi Shebekara Asur V'Rabbi Shimon Matir. Here it says that we had our Mishnah that talked about the oil that was in the kara and so on and so forth. Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter, there's no problem once it goes out. So in other words, that means that according to Rabbi Shimon, let le muktzah. But how do you explain the fact that according to Rabbi Shimon, if it's yontif, and you have an animal which is a bechor, and therefore unsuitable for use on yontif, and a mum, it gets a mum now on yontif, that he says, nonetheless, now, did we not say that people who don't hold of Muktzah, don't hold of Nolan, don't require Mukhan, what's the difference if it's a Bechor or if it's a... I don't get it. So you're telling me it wasn't prepared for use on Yantav before Yantav, but it's usable now. Same thing like the Ner that goes out, it's usable now. Ah, says the Gemara, no comparison. Hachi Hashta. Hatam Adam Yoshevu Mitzapeh Ematai Techabe Neiro. Remember, we already saw that even Rabbi Shimon is Moda, that if this was a lantern and not a Ner, even though it had gone out, you couldn't use it. Now, how did you understand that? It's because it's not that he doesn't hold of Muktzah. He just feels that anything that could conceivably be held in mind to be used doesn't become Muktzah. That's all. So usually a candle goes out on Shabbos, and therefore, the moment it goes out, it's considered to be Minam Ruchan. Now here you've got a perfectly normal animal. What is the guy thinking? Gee, you never know. Maybe tomorrow it'll get a moon. And then I'll be able to find the Talmud Chacham to be martyred on Yom Tov, even though it's usher to be Rova Mumin on Yom Tov. You never know. And then, you know, maybe you'll even find that it's the kind of moon that you're allowed to check on. Is that what the guy is thinking, really, now? So, over here, huh? Any bechor can be eaten by a non-kohen. If the kohen offers it to you, except, you know, there's a man the amro who has a chumran, but not because it has a din of isur kosher. So, awesome, what are you saying? The guy is going to be thinking, Adam Yoshevi Mitzapeh, Matayi Pogo Mum, is that what he's thinking? Meimar Amar, he says to himself, ah, come on, me aimer today for Beimuma. Ooh, I mean, why should I imagine that it's going to get a moon? Leim did to learn up a Beimuma, even if it has some kind of accident on Shabbos, on Yantid, me aimer enough a Beimuma Kavua. I mean, who's going to say that it's a real moon that it's mutter to shecht on? Leim did to learn up a Beimuma Kavua. I mean, even if it is, turns out to be a serious injury. Me aimer in Mizakik Li Chacham. Who says that a Chacham is going to be Mizakik to be Matur? Therefore, even Rabbi Shimon would have looked at the case of a Bechor on Yantiv the way he would have looked at a lantern on Shabbos. Exactly the same idea. There's no Adam Yoshevu Mitzapeh. Mosiv Rami Barfama. How about this case? Mefirim Nidorim B'Shabbat. V'Nishalim. Sorry, Nidorim. Shem L'Tzorach HaShabbat. You're allowed to be made for a neder. You could be shor a neder, which is L'Tzorach HaShabbat. Now, I mean, the typical case would be somebody ossered food on himself, say, right? So now it's Shabbos and he's not happy. So he wants to get somebody to be matir his neder. A woman ossered food because she's bulimic. You know, no more food forever, never. So it says over here, it's okay, you could go ahead and be matir that on Shabbos if it's a Torah Shabbos. But wait a minute. What good will it do for her to have her husband be matir the neder if lamaisa the food is going to remain moksa? Because is you said that if you have to wonder about, well, I can't really be sure that anybody would be matir it for me, like by the mum. So why wouldn't she also be thinking, well, maybe, you know, maybe I won't be able to eat this food even if I would get a heter from my husband. So maybe he won't, maybe he'll be mad, maybe he doesn't want me to eat.
What about the fact that she helped during all the Shemashah so it was Esther, doesn't make it Esther?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're going like Rabbi Shimon. You're claiming that even according to Rabbi Shimon, that would be Esther. So, I mean, nobody should be mad for this, because, I mean, since you can't say she was Yoshevet Mitzapah, she's for sure going to be eating. There's even a good chance she'll be eating. Maybe he'll try to teach me a lesson once and for all, you know? Okay, you like these Nadarim? Fine, I like them too. So maybe it should be the same thing. Now, the Shaila, of course, a number of issues over here. I mean, we had created a case that seemed like there were an awful lot of miyemas. I mean, number one, who says it'll have an accident? Number two, if it has an accident, who says it's going to be a serious accident? Number three, if it's a serious accident, who says it's before? I mean, over here, you're just coming to the very end. You know, maybe one miyemar is still considered to be Yoshev and Mitzapeh. So Tosis points out that the additive miyemars are obviously not serious. Because there's other cases in which, I mean, if it already had a mum, you know, so the miyemar could be even one miyemar. This is clear from the following Gemara. That's not the point. But the issue of the year is, I understand, if I can't eat food, doesn't mean somebody else can eat food. What do you say? Food's going to be muktzah because I can't eat? Someone else can eat it. And what's the whole problem, Bechlal? I mean, it's not muktzah. It's if I have truma, I can't eat it, but I'm going to eat it. So
partial muktzah.
Muktzah being muktzah somehow. Yeah. Lechorah. So Tosis is bothered by this. And he suggests that the din of mukta, in terms of the moving, you're absolutely correct. Because since it's right for somebody else, so therefore we can move it, because that person has use of it. But there's also a mukta from achila. And the achila, since it's mine, and it was mukta to me from eating, I shouldn't be allowed to eat it. Because an eno min ha-muchan is not edible. And maybe that was the Gemara's question. Maybe you could have moved it the whole time, but who's to say she's allowed to eat it? Or, if you don't like that chidush, or the answer may be that the isser that she made was an isser hana on everyone. In other words, let's say, she had, as often happens, she had a cholent, and she let the cholent burn. Yeah. and she's mad. So she says, that chalent is usher to the world to eat. Gehegdish. Not hard to conceive of, is it? So over there now it's usher for everybody. So therefore, it should be muksa. And yet, we're including a chora, even a case like that. So therefore, it must be that there's no such problem as you're claiming of mi'emar. Mi'emar is not a good enough reason to keep away from something. You claim mi'emar dematri chochem, the mizdakik lechochem. Over here, her husband's going to be matrit for her. That's not a problem. That's hasam ki Pinchas b'shvei Rava. That's the famous mimer of Pinchas, who quotes Rava, saying that kol hanoderet al dat ba'ala hinoderet. Basically, the whole thing that her neder works as is that she's someta dat al ba'ala. All along. It's not a question that the neder exists. Now the shaila is, what's he going to do about it? The whole point of the din of a hafarat neder of a baal is that, in essence, the neder doesn't exist. She's really relying on him to take care of things, you know. He knows I got a big mouth. He knows I shoot off every once in a while. He'll take care of it, you know. He'll make the phone call and apologize. He'll take care of it at the bank, or whatever. So in the mela, it's not really that it was muksa. She is so mechet Allah. That's the point. Buyers by the chokah to be mad to the bechor. Why would I be saying it on him? Toshma, nish'alim l'nidarim shatzorach ha-shabbat. Now, here it's not a woman and a husband. Here it's for stamp, a person. Apparently including a case where somebody ossered food, and now we can go and get somebody to be mad to him because he needs it for onik Shabbat. So we'll do it on Shabbat too. Why? Lema mi yemadim is akek le'chacham. Fine, it's not a problem. If you can't get a chacham, remember, you can always get three guys together. Everybody figures, I can go into shul, I'll get three guys to be matzah. I mean, give them a real sob story about what's a Shabbos like without a chalent. And they'll sit down and they'll be matzah in that. But a mum, I'm going to need a chacham to be matzah. Which isn't really true, because b'makom shein mumcha matzah in esa b'chorai v'shlosh ad yotos, which is a little bit of a problem, which Tosis is bothered by. It's okay, but then you would need that it has to be a mum that is so obvious that, you know, that's a rarity. It has to be, it's a leg is literally cut off. The eye was blinded completely. I mean, that's, yeah. Okay. So over there you don't have a problem because it's sagile b'shalosh had yotot. And that's okay. But hach, in our case, mi'em adim is dakek lechachab. Rami le abaya le Rav Yosef. Abaya is another problem with Rav Yosef. It seems to indicate a contradiction to Rabbi Shimon. Mi amar Rabbi Shimon, kapta mutar letal talah. Rabbi Shimon says, only when the nair goes out, then you can move it. Now, and here we finally, after all of these pages of discussion of Rabbi Shimon, finally get to the understanding of what is bothering Rabbi Shimon about the time that the nair is lit. Because if the issue is it's going to go out, you know, that's a problem. That leads us into other things. What are you going to say the reason is? I mean, I assume that it's because it's burning. So therefore, my timer, since it's burning, as all of you suggested yourselves, you can't move it because maybe you'll put it out. You may jiggle it. You may move too fast. You'll end up now being called by the Ner on Shabbos. So therefore, Dilma Bahadi, the Naked Le Kofta. Aha! Why in the world would Rabbi Shimon, of all people, be worried about that? Remember Rabbi Shimon's famous shita. Most famous shita of all. So according to him, Le Shitato, he shouldn't even worry about it at the time that it's burning. Who cares if it's burning? What am I doing wrong? What are you saying? It's mutzvah machmat mitzvato adarabah. The mitzvah is to give me light on Shabbat. Now I need light in the bedroom. Let me move it from the kitchen to the bedroom. Why in the world does he say it's usher to move in there while it's lit? If you don't hold, there's a problem of mutzvah, then you shouldn't hold there's a problem, if you hold of Rabbi Shimon, you shouldn't hold there's a problem of Dilma Kafta. That is a pretty powerful question, you know, like, wow, we ignored the whole issue all along. Why was he answering it? Bizman, that it's burning. And even the logic we said before, mitoch, that it was mukzeh le mitzvatoh, so it was mukzeh le yisuroh, couldn't have meant literally mukzeh machmat yisur, because, I mean, what would I be doing in moving it? Titanya, I mean, after all, Rabbi Shimon was Dovash Enemit Kavin Mutar, Titanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gorer Adam Kisei, Mitav, Esafsal, Ubavat Shaleit Kavin Lasov Charetz. His famous case of dragging a bed across the floor with Richie in it would be mutter in the case where it doesn't necessarily have to make a furrow in the ground. I've been working on that weight problem. So it wouldn't necessarily make a furrow anymore. Says the Gemara, what we'll have to say is that kol heicha dechimechavi niki yisura dioraita. Perhaps the issue is this. In a case where if you would be mechavi to do something, their Rebbe Shimon is, I'm sorry, where Kilomachav and God's Rebbe Shimon and Rabbah, their Rebbe Shimon would still hold its Osir. I mean, Rabbanan. It's only Kolecha the Chimachav and Ika Yisur the Rabbanan. It's only in a case where, even if you have Kabbana, there's only an Isser the Rabbanan, their Rebbe Shimon, if you're not Machavin, would say it's even Mutal Chatzila. And therefore, in dragging the bed, yes, in dragging the bed, it's mutter. Why? Is making a furrow not an issur d'oraita? There's different approaches as to what the problem, why we're saying over here, there's no issur d'oraita. Rashi says, because it's eno kedarko. Since you're doing it kila akriya, the normal way of making a furrow is to take a shovel and make a furrow. Now, Shane Dane, over here, dragging a bed to make a furrow, I mean, when was the last time you saw a farmer dragging his bed across the field? I mean, we have Kalin for this purpose. And therefore, you won't be Chayav. Others learn that the problem over here is that actually Rashi doesn't make all that much sense, because we're talking about dragging something on your floor in the house. We're not talking about the furrow in a field. We're talking about the possibility of Binyan or Stirah here. So they say the problem over here is that normally it's Mikalkel. And therefore it's Potter Midyoraita, because you're ruining the floor. Why would anybody want to ruin their floor? So even if you want to call that as part of Binyan or Stirah, in this case it would certainly not be an Issa Diyoraita. Mashen came over here by the Ner. If you in fact intend to put out that Ner when you're Metaltalit, it would be an Issa Diyoraita. And therefore he answers it Min Rabbanan while it's burning. The problem being, gentlemen, Rabbi Shimon also holds that a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa is not an issur d'oraita. Oh my God, so even if you put it out, it wouldn't be an issur d'oraita. So why can't you move it now when it's an eina mitzchavin? This is a disaster. All the Rishonim are bothered by this question. Because the only time you'd be chayav if you put out a candle, as we know from the Mishnah, is where you intend to make the charcoal or the wick. But according to Rabbi Shimon, any other circumstance, which is, because that's the circumstance, guy's moving, he decides, okay, now it's time to go to bed. Okay, so big deal. So he did an issur d'rabbanan. So he turned off the light. What's the big deal? He's not going to be chayav anyway. So therefore, I'm going to make a gzeira that he shouldn't be metaltel, because maybe he'll blow it out. Even if he blows it out, he wouldn't be doing an issur d'oraita.
Yeah, but there's another issue. Because one can't burn on this, or does that count?
No. Well, that count. So this is a serious problem. So Tosha says, well, you know, maybe since there is a case in which it's possible to conceive that, it's a d'oraita. So I know this sounds a little bit, you know, far-fetched, but look, after all, in the end, we're going to end up finding a different solution to this whole problem. Anyway, we can ask a question. So the Gemara really could have pointed out that it's really far-fetched. But there's a fascinating Bnei Yoshua who comes up with the idea that when Rabbi Shimon says that a malacha she'ein tzricha l'gufa is potter, he means potter avalasha midyoraita. Which is an amazing chiddush. I mean, who ever heard of such a thing? That there is an iser of asiyat malacha, even though it's ein tzricha l'gufa, and it's only that the terms of the chiyuv of karet, or the chiyuv of mitar, the chiyuv of shogegan, the carbon, there we say malacha she'ein tzricha l'gufa, because it has to be similar to the Mishnah. But the idea that it's usher to do a pu'ulat ha-malacha, even where the totza'ah of the malacha is not the totza'ah that was in the Mishkan, that is not that it's mutter midyoraita, it's just that it's putter.
So
none of the Rishonim came up with that idea. The Bnei Yoshua was an acharon.
But it's usher
rabbanan. No, everybody agrees usher rabbanan. The question, he was saying that it must be usher midyoraita, because otherwise why would we usher to do a dover she'enu mitkavein, because maybe it'll come to do a dover that is anyway only a malacha and tzricha l'gufa, which itself is mutar, but you're right. Okay. So we have something of a fascinating issue over here. In any event, so maybe that's the idea. So Rabbi Shimon holds, you can't move the Ner, because maybe you'll end up putting it out, and even though in putting it out, it's a malacha and tzricha l'gufa, but there's cases where it might be the right. So in the Ner, as long as the fire is burning, you can't move that Ner. Mativ Rava, there's no such thing. Rabbi Shimon is matir lechatchila, even where you could come to an issur d'oraita if you had kavana, and I'll prove it to you. The famous case of the Kilayim suit sellers. The guy is walking down the street, and he's a suit seller. And one way of selling suits is to put on 15 suits, and you show which one do you like. You open up the particular jackets, you show off your wares. Now, if you're a machmir, what you could do is, you take a pole and hang the suits behind you. So Mochrek sut mochrin kedarkan, however. According to Rabbi Shimon, you're still allowed to wear those suits, even though they're kilayim. You just have to not be thinking that you're using these things in order to warm yourself or to protect yourself from the rain. And that way it's not considered to be levishat kilayim. And if it's not levishah, it's okay. But people that are very makbid, they're mafshilim b'makela achorein, they put it on a pole. But here we see the Rabbi Shimon says that even though ha'acha dekim echavein yisur diyoraita, had you had in kavana, there would have been an issur diyoraita. Nonetheless, kilom echavein. But since you don't have kavana dinene from the kilayim to be lovish the kilayim, shari Rabbi Shimon even lechatzila. So your answer is not a good answer. There's no such thing as an issur. I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. Of lechatzila and a davar shenam echavein, even if it would come to you diyoraita. Certainly not this crazy case. Even if you put it out, it's so unlikely it would be. And that, because it says, basically, I mean, we're relying on this question as well. Because in the end, we show that he's wrong, which is why we didn't pursue the other problem. That's why he's throwing it in the words that he says. Ela amar Rava, a totally different approach to the meaning of the Mishnah. I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. The reason that Rabbi Shimon, Richie, this is a very important moment, finally coming after all these pages. So the reason that Rabbi Shimon says he can't move that candle while it is burning. The reason that you can't move the candle when it's burning has nothing to do with maybe putting out the candle. The reason is because the shalhevet itself, the actual burning flame that's on the ner, is certainly a davar ha'asur. You can't use that, you can't put it out, you can't make it, and therefore it itself is pure isur. It's not something that has a use. The problem over here is that the ner, the shemen, and even the ptilah are all the base of the flame. And that means they become a basis of the barasur. First time we've heard those words. We now have a new concept, even though we've assumed it sort of all along with the case of the stagecoach jazz and so on. But we have now a basis of the barasur, and since that thing, I mean, look, you said you agree that something which is useless and is not a thing which is a kli and it's a brock, you got a shalhevet. A shalhevet is not a kli. Rabbi Shimon is motivated that can't be moved. But over here you put a shalhevet. What a silly place to put a shalhevet. You put it right there on the wick. So you put a shalhevet. Why do we have to go all the way to the wick? I mean, who cares about the wick? Says Tosis, because no, you can't say that the ner is the basis. We don't care about the oil and so on. Because then it would be a basis both for the oil and for the shalhevet. And a basis of the varasur, their mutar, is okay. We've got to make it a basis. Everything is a basis of the varasur, in which case there's no mutar here at all. And since you put down that fire in the wrong place, right on the wick, which was right on your oil, which was right in your lamp, right, next time you should be careful. Therefore, you can't move this basis of the varasur as long as that shalhevet is burning on it. And that's the reasoning for needing to wait till the fire goes out. Everything is so.
An artificial lamp is a thing. Is it an artificial lamp a thing?
What?
It's like this lamp. Is that called
an artificial lamp? Should be a clay. There should be no
answer. Yet the model of what it's modeled after is not a clay.
Well, the question is whether a bulb is a dover that is, is an instrument, or it's basically always just a shalhevet. And that's what it is. It's just a shalhevet in potential, or, you know, I mean, you could argue that. Yeah, but it's not it itself. The things that that you would use it for are dvarim that are also to do on Shabbos. Therefore, the thing it's first of all, what is it? It's not a kli. So what it is basically something which on Shabbos is involved in Chilul Shabbos by Be'etzah. So what are you going to do with it? So, I mean, you can let it do its thing and you can be nenek from it, but that's fine. I mean, you know, except for other gezeiros, but to move the Yisr itself, that for sure he wouldn't agree. Okay, gentlemen, that was lovely. Okay, here we are. Rapid Chazara, starting from Meme Yomid Beis. Omer Abaye L'Rav Yosef, Alei Kilat Chatanim. Adam Kovei Lo Makom V'Amashvo Mishur Mechia. Kilat Chatanim Mutal and Total Mutal Afarka B'Shabbat. Elo Omer Abaye, I hold the issue of the menorah is a different one. B'Shol Chuliyot, Ah, yochi, my time in Rav Shimon Malach is to shorei. No. Chulyot ke'in chulyot. Deit pechitke. Hilka. If it's literally chulyot, it wouldn't matter. Ben Gedola, Ben Ketana was also a tautal according to anybody. Gedola nami, deit pechitke, everybody did it zera at the Gedola the chulyot. Ki pligi bit sana deit pechitke. Marsava, namely Rav Yochanan and Gazvinan, and Rish Lakish Marsava, no Gazvinan. Now, Yom Rav Yochanan Lachy Lachy is like Rav Yehuda. Yom Rav Yochanan Lachy Kistan Mishnah. Vitznan Mucha Nishala Bizman Shi Nishmetet Ein Chibur La. Vein Nimderet Ima, Vein Matzelet Ima Ba'olamet. Vein Gorin Ota B'Shabbat. Bizman Shi Geish Aleha Ma'ot. Meaning, Ha'in Aleha Ma'ot Sharia. Avagav Da'avela Ben Ashmashat. Yom Rav Yehuda, okay, cool down, man. Tei Mishnatenu. Shalo Ayu Aleha Ma'ot Ko Ben Ashmashat. Shalo Lishbo Divrav. Dvarav Shor Rabbi Yochanan. Omrav Yeshua ben Levi, Pam Achat, Alak Rebbe L'Diuspera, V'horav B'Menorah, K'Rebbi Shimon B'Ner, Iboilu, how do I read that? Horav B'Menorah, K'Rebbi Shimon B'Ner, Latera, Odilma, Horav B'Menorah, period, meaning, Lizura, and furthermore, K'Rebbi Shimon B'Ner, Latera, Teku. Remalki Ikela Ilkla Levei Rebbi Smaloi, Metalto Shraga, Rebbi Smaloi was mad. Rebbi Yosi Galila, Ikela to Rebbi Yosi Rebbi Chanina, Tilto Shraga. Rabbi Avu was more diplomatic. Rabbi Rav Yosef Damar Tavayu, the Naftanami Shari Latotula, Rav Avi Arichla Levei Rav, Avi Meisin Bekare Betina, Ativi Apuria Kamina Rava, Ikpid Rava, Bolitz Ure, Amalei, my time a Rabbi Rav Yosef Damar Tavayu, Shragan Naftanami Shari Latotula, Amalei, Obechaz Lechasi Yivei Mona, Aha, Elamiata Kotzorot Shebechatzer, Betatuli, Obechaz Lechasi Yivei Mona, Amalei, Hoi, Ketorat Klialea, Vahani Lekator Klialeyan, Milo Tanya, Ashirim, Vanizamim, Vatabaot, Harehink, Cholakinim, and Italim Bechatzer, Vioma Ula Matam, Hovi Ketor Klialea, Akanami Hovi Ketor Klialea, Omra Nachman, Ibar Yitzchak, Rich Rachmana, the Loxifa Ravel Ravavia, Romilea Bayel Rabba, Tanya, Motara, Shemeshab and Ereshbekara Asur, Rabbi Shimon Matir, Amal Rabbi Shimon Letle Mukta, Aha, Brahmini, Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol Shein Mumonikar, Meherb Yom Tov, Ein Ze Mina Mucha. Ah, Hachi Ashta, Hatam Adam Yoshevu Mitzapeh, Ein Batai Techaber Neiro. But Hachi, what are you going to say? Adam Yoshevu Mitzapeh, Matai Yipo Bo Mum? Meimar Omer, first of all, Mi Yemer Danaf of Ein Mum. And even if Tzulam Enof Ben Muma, Mi Yemer Enof Ben Muma Kavua, and even if Tzulam Enof Ben Muma Kavua, Mi Yemer Enof Mizdakek Lechacha. Most of Rami Bar Chama, wait a minute. Chacham, I thought we take for granted. Is it my fear in the door in B'Shabbos, L'Tzorach Shabbos, Vamai, Lema Mi Yemer Enof Mizdakek Lechali, Not Ger Pinkas Shmeid Rava. Vam Ger Pinkas Shmeid Rava, Kol Anoderet, Al Dad Baalai Noderet. Tashma, how about Nisholim in the door, which is in general? Shotzorach HaShabbos, not a woman. Vamai, lema mi yema de mizdakek lechokam, and therefore it should be mukts anyway. Hata mi lo mizdakek lechokam, you still have b'shad yele b'shal shed yotot. So you get three anybody's together. Lechokam mi yema de mizdakek lechokam. Rami le abayel Rav Yosef, mi amar Rabbi Shimon, kavta mutar la taltala, which means only kavta, lo kavtala. Now why? I mean, obviously, my time at Dilma Vadin Dakit la kavta. Problem is, of Shemino and Rav Shimon, mutar, and therefore, who cares if it would go out? The tiny Rabbi Shimon Amar Gorer Adam Ki Seir Mitavis of Sal Ubelvat Shloit Kevin Lasot Charitz. Ah, the answer is the Kol Heicha the Chimechaven Yiki Sur Diorayta. There Kiloka Mechaven Rabbi Shimon is goes a bit Rabona. It's only Kol Heicha the Chimechaven is not even in this Diorayta. There'd only be a this Rabona. Only there Kilom Mechaven Shor Rabbi Shimon Lachatchila. Mati Brava, that doesn't work. How about Mochrik Sut Mochrinka Dakan Ubavach Lloyd Kavin Bechamami Pnea Kamal Bikshamim Nea Kishamim Hatsnuin Mafshil Mabakela Korean? Well, what are you going to say over here? Oh, Haka Dechimichaveni would have an issue of the rights of Kilayim. And nonetheless, Kilo Mekavi, Rabbi Shimon says it's Mutar L'Chatchila. So your logic doesn't hold by it. Therefore, Lama Rava, Hanach, Lener, L'Shemen, Uptila, Hurl, Dina'asu, Basis, L'Davar Asur, the whole thing now is prohibited.
What was the penny?